Welcome. Good morning. It's good to see you guys all here. Welcome to Christ Community Church. My name is Michael Rodriguez, lead pastor here at the church. And just excited. This is the sixth Sunday closing the sermon series that we've been on, which is called Established, right? Rooted in Establishing God's Love. And I always say pop quiz, right? What was the first Sunday about? The message was about? Somebody said it. All right, JD. Awesome. Knowing. What's the second Sunday about? Listening. Now, you guys, I didn't have to give you guys clues. And then what was the third Sunday, Adriana? Close. It was about something that you like to do. Not in a bad way. She likes to pray. She likes to talk to God, right? So it's talking to God. We talked about the other half of communication, right? First, you got to know who God is. You got to listen. And then you pray, right? That's the other half of communication. Then we talked about serving God. Then last week, we talked about what? Humility, and that means what? Walking. Right? That was my attempt to do like a moonwalk. It was not good. But walking with God. And the challenge last week was, if you guys remember, we don't want to just talk the talk about being a Christian. We want to walk the walk, right? And that means that we have to walk in humility. We got to put Jesus in his rightful place in our life. And that means that we also have to walk alongside each other, right, in the church as brothers and sisters. Today we're going to talk about, and it's the last one, and this is, you know, you guys have probably all heard maybe like at least 12 messages on this one, but this one's on sharing God, right? And you're like, oh man, really? You want me to share God? You want me to share my faith? You know how awkward that is? Now, sharing is not something that, it's not kind of natural to us, right? It's really not. And you know how you know this? Because you don't have to teach a kid, a little kid, a baby, how to be stingy, do you? You don't have to teach them how. They know from a very, like, it's almost inherent. They don't want to share, right? Watch them play with toys. So for me, you know, the secrets are out. My sister gave me a book. I'm going to read it this week. So my sister in church gave me a book. And you guys all know like to eat. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's why this shirt, grab it out of the closet. I don't even have to iron it. Like, it's just self-ironed, you know. I'm trying to work on that. But we have four kids. I always like to, who's a snacker in here? You're a snacker, right? If you're walking by and you see the kids, you're like, oh, I want some of that. What are you eating over there? Chicken nuggets? Let me have one, you know. You gonna eat that corn dog? So, but it's so funny because I would approach the kids and I would say like, hey, can I have that chicken nugget? And they're like, you know, or they're eating chips, right? And you're like, can I have a chip? And then it's so funny because they like look at me and they're like, give me one. I was like, man, you know, I paid for that, all that food. I should just take it. But sharing is not natural to us. It's kind of awkward when we're kids. Now, today we're going to talk about sharing our faith. And what does it mean to share our faith? And some of you guys are like, well, some of you guys are very outgoing. You know, that's your jam to kind of talk to people like, hey, sister, how are you? Brother, how are you? And some of us, and I'm saying us, because I'm not naturally like an extrovert. I don't know if you guys, you know, when you get up here and you're like, well, you speak a lot. It's different. I'm not naturally an interactor. It's funny. My brother is more of an interactor than I am, right? That's why God made us brothers, right? He wanted the milk chocolate version, my brother, and then the lighter white chocolate over here. You could tell we're brothers, right? The hair and the goatee. But it's not natural. For me, I'll be honest with you, whenever we talk about the Great Commission, which we're going to be, the message is based off of, it's kind of challenging. I'll be honest with you. But we're going to go into it. And even as I was preparing for this message, I'll be honest with you, I was pretty convicted. And you'll see why. But it doesn't come naturally. And what we're going to learn about is that, you know, at the end of the day, it's not really optional. That, yeah, we do God's work and we're looking for opportunities. But sometimes, you know, if we're honest, we kind of will shy away from it a little bit. Right. But today we're going to be reading out of the book of Matthew. So I'm going to ask you guys to open up to Matthew chapter 28. You guys all probably know where that verse is found. And we're going to be picking up in verse 16. Did everybody get a fill in the blank or do you need a Bible? Anybody need one? Or you can follow along up here. But Matthew 28:16 through 20, the scripture says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen? All right. And we're going to break down this passage verse by verse, right? Because at the end of the day, you guys already know, I said it earlier, this passage is called the Great Commission, right? And so this is one of the contexts of the passage, if you guys have already read the book of Matthew, which I highly encourage, is that you follow along in Jesus in his life, right? You follow along in his ministry. You follow along that he's been doing miracles, you know, for three years of active ministry. And then he's, you know, falsely accused and he has a mock trial. He goes to the cross. He's now resurrected 3 days later, right? And this is at the very end, after 40 days of actually his resurrection and spending time with the disciples and being witness. There's over 500 eyewitnesses, including the disciples, to his resurrection. This is that last moment, the last thing that he tells the disciples. And so do you guys think it's important? If somebody that you love, somebody that is Lord or King of our life, should we pay an extra attention to what he's saying in this passage? I'd say, yeah, we should, right? So what's interesting about this passage, though, is when I started to read it and getting ready for the message, verse 16, you guys already see, he told them to meet him on the mountain. But verse 17, which is where was something that caught my eye, right? Because verse 17 says, "When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." Have you ever seen that? Have you kind of like looked at that and say, like, the disciples themselves who walked with him in 3 years of active ministry, saw him do signs and miracles and wonders, right? He was healing the lame and blind men were seen and bringing people back to life, like Lazarus. You guys remember that? So it's just crazy to me that they see him resurrected. Now, some of them had a natural inclination, which is what? To worship. But the other, some of them doubted. And when I first came across that scripture, it stood out to me because I would say, well, why would they doubt? He's right there. Whenever I read the Gospels, I would always say, I really wish I was there. I wish I could see Jesus, like, with the crowds. I wish I could have seen Zacchaeus in the tree. You know, that's just my own. But anyway, some doubted. And the first fill in the blank that we're going to talk about here is, number one, Jesus commissions every believer to share the gospel, even if we have reservations about doing it. Reservations about doing it. It's not optional, what we're reading here in the scripture. It's a commission and it's a commandment. So again, Jesus commissions every believer to share the gospel, even if we have reservations about doing it. And why I was saying that is because, again, if you look at 17, as you dig in a little more, you kind of look and say, well, what does it mean? And I don't like to do this a lot, but there's different translations, right, as you go in through your scripture. The Greek word for that is called distazo, right? D-I-S-T-A-Z-O. Not like this, you know, in Spanish, distazo? No. That's like a Spanglish. It's D-I-S-T-A-Z-O. So distazo. What it means, though, is it means uncertainty. And it means apprehension. It doesn't mean an out-and-out unbelief, right? So I want to be very clear on that. When you're reading the scripture, you're going to say, what do you mean some of them doubted? Like they doubted that he was the Messiah? No, he was resurrected. But imagine if you were in that scene, when you're in front of the resurrected Jesus, part of you would have a little bit of uncertainty, right? A little bit of apprehension. That's what that word means. Now, let me be crystal clear to you, right? Here, the commandment that Jesus is telling, right, is not that the Great Commission is optional for us. In fact, when you first got invited to church, and I don't know if you're a believer or not, when you first got invited to church, or even if you come to a church like this, and you're like, that's kind of weird, you know, I grew up in the more of a traditional church, the music is maybe a little bit too loud, you know, the pastor should be wearing a white, like a gown, There should be golden cups everywhere. Does that sound familiar to you? I should be wearing a black thing with a little white thing right here. Yeah, or if a traditional church. I'm not knocking those traditions, right? But when you come to the church here, something is different. It's the first thing. For example, I'll give you guys a little bit of my own testimony. The first time my brother invited me to the church, Lifehouse, I was really apprehensive about it. You know, he forced me to go. I didn't want to go. He invited me for 2 years. And then finally he says, you're going to come, whether you want to or not. And so if you see this guy's size, and I was a lot skinnier right then, I was like, yeah, you know, if you threaten me like that, of course I'll go to church with you. So I went. When I first walked in, though, there was something different about it. The music was different. The message was shared a little bit differently. And it was one of the first times where I really felt the Holy Spirit calling me. I saw that right through what the Holy Spirit was doing and through what Jesus had already done in my brother's testimony, in his life, that he was being transformed. Right? There were signs and wonders. There's things that, you know, if you guys met my brother before he got saved, he was always mad. You know, like I always say, between us, we share the Tupac, you know. But he started to change. He really started to change. And it was kind of like mysterious to me. I was like one of those disciples. I'm like, I see what's going on, but I'm doubting. I'm not quite sure. Maybe I see the resurrection. I see something happening here. I see his life is being transformed. But I was like one of the disciples there on the mountain. It wasn't until I experienced it for myself, guys, right? So you can be invited into a church service and you can see God moving and doing different things, but you're still not sure, right? And going back to my own testimony, it took me 7 different Sundays when I heard the message in the gospel. And finally, at the 7th time, I reluctantly, and I mean this, reluctantly said, man, Jesus, if you're real, I feel silly doing this, but I'm going to pray this prayer right now because I know that I'm not fit to wear the crown on my head. And I feel this Holy Spirit prompted me to do that. So I'm going to invite you in right now. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's to me, even my conversion was like doubtful. You know, like I just said, I'm not quite sure. I can't wrap my brain around my brain because I'm hardwired to like have a plan and think. I can't wrap my brain around what I feel in my heart right now. I feel the Holy Spirit moving. I feel Him doing something in my life. And then finally, I did. I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. And the rest is history, right? A dove came down from the sky. Oh, and I just started glowing. No, none of that happened, guys. It was a lot of hard work after that because I had to prune out all kinds of sin and unforgiveness and pride in my life. But thank God that I saw, right? Even though from where I was standing in a place of doubt, through my unbelief that He met me where I was at. That He met me and He saw me enough and He loved me enough to say, you know what, I know you're unbelieving, I know you're all these things, but I'm God, I'm Lord, right? Why don't you taste and see? You know, it's like Jesus, why don't you come? And that's a little bit of my own conversion story. But even if we have reservations about doing it, what Jesus is telling us here, right, it's not optional. In the previous message last week out of John 13, 17, at the washing of the disciples' feet, he tells us that the blessing comes when we do what? When we pray. But Nike made a lot of money off of this. When we just do it, right? It says, you know what, you might have a little bit of doubt. And it's okay for you to have 49% doubt, right? 49% doubt is okay because you just need 51% of faith. It means you don't have to be like super confident. It doesn't mean that you have to be like the most articulate person, that you're gifted and skilled. And yeah, there's some evangelists that are out there. There are apologists that are going out there. If you ever watch like, you know, there's a channel I follow called Apologia Studios. You see these guys that go out to the universities. They're talking to people. They're really like having hard conversations with people about other religions, about just all the pressing issues of the world culturally, and they always bring it back to Jesus. And it takes training. It takes skill. We may not have that, but here's my question. Do we have 51% faith to overcome the 49% of our doubt? Can we do that? I think we can, right? Even if we're not sure, we have to trust in who is sending us, right? It's not in our own strength and our own abilities. Because the second thing that we see today in this message is that as a follower of Jesus Christ, we've been empowered with authority to share the good news. We've been empowered with authority to share the good news. That's the second fill in the blank. And that's from the next passage, verse 18. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" Right? This means that when we go out and we share the good news and we share our faith, it's not on our own strength and abilities. In our own strength and abilities, we can do nothing, guys. Right? Jesus even tells us, without me, you can do nothing. In fact, if you study the book of Acts, he tells them, wait until the Holy Spirit comes and then you will receive power. Right? The second portion, if you get down to the book of Acts, you actually see this scene again, repeated, where he says, "All authority and all power has been given to me on heaven and on earth." But then he says something clear. He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." It's really important that we get this right, guys. We serve the author and creator of the universe. Why does it matter? Because it's not on your own talents, gifts, and abilities that we're going to convert anybody. We don't bring anybody to Jesus Christ. All we do is share the good news, share the gospel, and be a witness to him. The Holy Spirit does the saving. Jesus himself, none of us has died on the cross for somebody's salvation. Jesus has already done it. So for us, all we have to do is be obedient and know that all authority has been granted on heaven and on earth to our Lord. He's telling us, you can be part of the plan. There's no plan B. You're plan A. Go and make disciples. And by the way, I'm sovereign. I'm in control. And so there should be, we hear that, there should be a release of all that anxiety we have about sharing our testimony. There should be a release because it's not like, oh, I have to have the right things to say. Oh, I better read all these scriptures. I didn't go to Fresno Pacific. I don't have my PhD or my Master in Divinity for, you know. No. He's saying, I'm in charge. And by the way, I have a plan already for everybody's life, and I'm inviting you to be a part of it. Will you get in the game? That's, to me, it's like, that's almost like going to the Super Bowl today and knowing that you're going to win. Amen? And then you wouldn't be nervous about it because it's like, I already know what's going to happen. Now, I know conspiracy theorists are like, the Super Bowl scripted and everything's, I don't know, they still have to play, guys. Today, we're going to pray extra hard for Brock Purdy. But that's a different conversation. But we've already been empowered with authority to share the good news. And isn't that interesting? The word authority. When you think of authority, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? The law? The police? What you want, what you gonna do? When, isn't that song? Cops? It's coming back, I heard. the police, right? You guys know that song. You guys record it, I know. You think about authority. You think about usually like your boss. You think about parents usually, right? Isn't it interesting that when somebody, like authority does some weird stuff to us, huh? When you put, like if you question this, like put your kids in charge of each other and see what happens. Like in 30 seconds, what happens? Oh, the person who's in charge, man, they're like an iron fist. And I'm like, man, why can't you listen? Like, you're doling it out right now. But when we're coaching, my daughter's here. She knows what I'm talking about. She's like the most reluctant. She's like, she bucks the authority. Like, she says, don't tell me what to do. But when she's in authority, oh, man, be careful. You know? That's the different kind. That's what we're saying is that the authority is, again, and I know I'm going off topic a little bit. Sometimes when I'm driving, I like to go a U-turn. We're not fit. We're not good, honestly, with authority if we're not ready for it, right? We don't have the humility for it. That's why sometimes have you ever worked for somebody that doesn't have like humility, or it's the first time as a young supervisor, they're just like the worst to work for. Because they lead from what? From the title and the position. The worst place to lead. But we don't have to, that's a human authority, right? We're talking about the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's in charge of everything. So we can trust him. The reason why I'm saying this is that maybe you have a problem with authority in your life. We as believers are called to humble ourselves before Jesus Christ. He is our supreme authority. And we can trust him. So if we've been let down by a boss, a supervisor, a parent, somebody that has maybe had authority over your life, Jesus Christ is not going to fail us. He's not going to set us to a task and watch us to say, watch this. I'm going to go send them to do something. And when he falls flat on his face, I'm going to laugh. That's not our God, guys. He probably laughs at some of the things that we do, but if you watch our life, we can trust him because he is sovereign and he is good. The Great Commission isn't a suggestion, right? It's a divine mandate that's backed by the sovereign authority, God himself. In verse 19, it says, after he said, hey, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The third fill in the blank there is that what you see there, it's not like he didn't say, therefore, maybe if you feel like it, maybe if you're not tired, maybe if you make time, if you get a chance to do it, maybe go make some disciples. That would give us an out, right? He didn't say that. He says what? Go. Go. Right? It's like when you tell your kids, go do it now. Right? Well, you guys don't yell at your kids, just us. Your kids are all perfect. They listen. As soon as you say, yes, Dad, yes, Mom, of course, right away. We have to yell at our kids, sorry. We need to go to your house. So again, the third fill in the blank is it's not passive, right? The instruction is not passive. It's a call to action. The Great Commission, right, is not something to sit idly when we feel like it. It's a call to move out of our comfort zone, to venture out and to step into the world. And here's why. Because it's the only message of hope. It's the only message of redemption for a world that is dying without him. Guys, I know sometimes we get the message and you feel like, but Jesus is inviting us to share the good news of who he is. If you can reflect back on your own life and what it was like when you didn't have Jesus Christ, you can say, man, I needed to be saved. And I'm thankful that somebody invited me. I'm thankful that somebody had courage. I'm thankful that somebody forced me. That's okay. I just told you my own conversion story. Begrudgingly, I came, but I came, and I'm thankful for that. But the church, we don't seem to believe that that's like for us, right? This is follow me in this analogy. I have four kids. And when they ask them to go do something, nothing crazy, like, hey, Lily, you clean your room? She does. Come back, and it's not done. And I ask her, Lily, why didn't you clean your room? She said, well, Dad, I was studying. I wanted to make sure that I was well prepared, that I knew exactly all the techniques and the right approach to clean that room. Right? Come back the next day, and I said, hey, Lily, what happened? Clean your room. Dad, I'm praying about it now. Because, you know, I need to make sure that it's God is anointed this thing, that if what you said is right, I got to double check with the Creator. I'm like, Lily, I'm just asking you to clean your room. Go clean. I'm your father. Why haven't you cleaned your room? I'm back the next day. Lily, why didn't you clean your room? Well, I decided that I'm going to have a study about it, Dad. My friends, we're going to read different translations of what that means to go clean your room. We have it in the New Living Translation, the NIV translation, the New Century, and the ESV. All kinds of translations of what it means to go clean your room. And then finally, she's like, now we're going to have a study about it. I need to hear everybody's feedback about how we're going to clean that room, Dad. Does that make any sense to you guys? You guys see the analogy that I'm making? That for us, when I asked my daughter, I just want her to do it. I don't want to hear a dissertation about why she hasn't. Just do it. She knows what I'm talking about. She's going to be an attorney one day, I think. Every time I tell her, it's a rebuttal. But we're like that. We, the church, we're that way. How many times have we read the Great Commission? And how many times do we have to say, well, let me study the translation. Let me see if he really wants me to share my faith with my coworker, with my cousin, with my friend who doesn't know the Lord. I think he's talking about somebody else. Somebody else is going to reach that person. Really? I'm not seeing that in this scripture. We act the same way that my daughter acts to say, like, well, maybe it's optional. Let me go study. Let me pray about it. That's the number one thing. Oh, let me pray about it. It doesn't say go and pray. He says, therefore, go and do it. That's one of the things that we say, like, we want to be very spiritual since we're Christians, right? Oh, I better pray about that one. That means you don't want to do it. Like, we've been in church for a long time. People say, oh, I want to pray about that one. Really, come on. Jesus is not saying, go pray, go think about it, go learn the translation. He's not saying, go talk about it in your Bible study. He's like, get it done. And here's the thing. When I tell my daughter something, I expect her to get it done. I'm not Jesus. I'm not the creator of the universe. But guess who's giving that instruction? The author and the perfecter of our faith, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All I'm saying is, we need to take it serious. He's already said, I've empowered. I have a plan for you. I'm inviting you to be a part of it. Now, here's the reality of it. We have friends and family, coworkers, sometimes even our immediate family that aren't walking right with Jesus Christ. The challenge is that, yeah, you might be able to get them here, but guess what? You're in their life. God has already appointed you, right, to be the messenger, to share the good news of who he is. And it's not that you have to tell this big old conversion story. He tells the disciples in the book of Acts, he says, therefore, be my witnesses. And all you have to do is share your testimony about what God has done and invite them. That's it. The Great Commission, again, is not passive. And we're called to make disciples, right? That's the second part, verse 19. Make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, making disciples is something that we're working on here at this church because we want to be very intentional. And it can't just be the leaders. God has brought people in your life that only you can reach, that only you can disciple. And you know what that means? Yeah, we're going to give resources. We're starting, community groups here in the next week. We're starting our own class. There's different things, right? There's always, believe me, there's a little bit of method to the madness, a little bit. But God is sovereign. We don't have to overthink it. You know, the greatest time of church growth wasn't when we had all these massive buildings and all these other things and pro presenter breaking down in the middle of the sermon. And you know when it grew the fastest? In the first 100 years. You know why? Why do you guys think? Anybody? You guys, the Super Bowl is going to start if you guys don't answer. I got all day. It was in the first 100 years, guys. It grew exponentially. And do you know why? Because people were sharing, but at the same time, God showed up with power because the church was being persecuted. God showed up with power because it wasn't, and that's the challenge for us. Because the reality for us is that people will live very comfortably where we are. Until they, I always say they have a soul wound, until their life starts to fall apart, is when they really realize to say, you know what, I'm not fit to wear the crown. It's a whole lot different when you live in the comfort of the Central Valley in California, right? The seventh largest GDP in the whole world, right? If it was a country, and every single one of you, whether you believe it or not, you live in affluence. So it's challenging because there's not a whole lot of persecution here. The place where the church is growing the fastest is where it's most persecuted. Right now it's in China. I don't know if you guys know that. Because God is going to say, like, I mean, you want me to show up to give you power to talk to your coworker at Starbucks? Like, you need my power for that? You just need obedience for that. If you watch what happens in the scriptures, right? If you watch Elijah when he was up against the 1,000 prophets of Baal, you guys remember that? He was about to die, guys. You want to see God move in your life? Put yourself somewhere uncomfortable. God showed up to save Daniel from the lion's den because what? He was about to die. God showed up in a supernatural way in Stephen's life when he was about to get stoned because what? He was about to die. He was being persecuted for the church. And so I'm not saying that to bring us down or to guilt trip us. The reality is we just have to be intentional to invite somebody. They might say yes and they might say no. And Jesus himself says, when you invite somebody and they say no and they reject you, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. He even says what? Wipe your shoes, right? He says, wipe your chancla and go to the next town. All we have to be is obedient and share the good news and be a witness for him. Because he's good. If that's all that he asks me to do, if that's all he asks you to do, as a what? As an exchange for forgiveness of my sin debt and for everything that he has done for me, that's a no-brainer. It's just being obedient to our Lord and Savior. Amen? Now, one of the things that we want to be intentional about, it again, is making disciples. And that's part of what we talk about when we meet on Mondays, is how are we being intentional to come alongside people, to meet people where they are. We don't want to just, you know, get up here and preach and talk about things. We want to meet people where they are and come alongside them in their journey. I think women had their first event, Saturday. The men are meeting. Small groups are starting up. We're starting a new believer class. We're starting to put together our pathway for discipleship as well. Because at the end of the day, it's not enough. If you come here on a Sunday and you get fed and then you just, you know, you get your devotion, it's not enough. We have to do life together. And it's our job to equip you with the tools to share your faith, right? To create platforms where that can happen. It could be in small group, can be invitations, but all that means is that we need a little bit of skill. And it's our commitment to provide you with that. Even then, you already have the Holy Spirit. You already have the commission from God himself. We will provide some practical tools, right, to make that happen. We also want to make sure that we are growing not only in new believers, but also in baptisms. That's important. And so we're going to talk about what that looks like. Whether you bring a tank over here, or we baptize you like Nacho, you know. And I've been worried about your salvation. We'll do it better. But we talked about this last week at our church meeting. We want to be intentional, not to just say like we did it, but to celebrate, to come alongside so that we can do life together. It's important to us. Again, baptism is an important declaration of what Jesus has already done, right? When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you make a commitment and you want to do it publicly, right? You don't want to go off and do it in private. Nobody watches you. Nobody sees. We want to celebrate with you. In verse 20, it says then, 19 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching is important, obviously. You know, it's part of what I do up here. It's part of what we're doing in our small group. It's part of what we're doing in our classes. But here's the other thing that we need to do. We need to model it. We need to model that. Most of the behavior that we learn is what? You see somebody, right? You pick up good habits, and you also pick up some what? Some bad habits. It's not enough for us to just say it. We need to model that. And even those of us that have been, you know, we're still working out our faith. But even Paul says it. We're not meant to be babies, right? We need to grow in spiritual maturity and model it. Here's why. This generation, like every generation before it, doesn't want to be preached to. You know people in your life that preach to you? They preach you to say, do this, do that. You know what? Do this, do that. You didn't. You should have. That's preaching. Do you guys have people like that in your life? Right? Do you listen to them? You're like, I don't need you to tell me what to do. Thank you, Lenny. People don't want to be preached to. They want to be taught. They want to come alongside. They want you to say, like, don't just tell me. Show me. Come with me. That's what discipleship, that's what teaching is about. And that's what we're called as believers, to come alongside. Because we need to see our people want to see our faith lived out. You've heard this, what? Actions speak louder than words, right? You've heard this said before, is that preach the gospel and use words if you have to. That we need to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. It's not just, I'm going to be comfortable. No, it means that we got to do work for Jesus. Not the Rihanna song, but work for Jesus. No, we can do work for Jesus. That's okay. I'm going to stick with it. For Jesus. Here's why. People want to see your faith lived out, guys. If you see me, for example, up here preaching the gospel, singing, all this stuff, but later on, you see me like on Clovis Avenue at this place by the airport where I shouldn't be, you guys all know. If you don't know, don't go there. But if you saw me at a place that was inappropriate, at a bar, dancing and all, with all kinds of girls that wasn't my wife, would that be good? You guys would call me a hypocrite, right? You would say, they're awful. All I'm saying is that our life has to match up, guys. Our life has to match up. And what we're teaching is that we want to not just preach the word, but we need to live it out. By the way, I don't go to any of those places. I don't want to see on like, hey, the pastor said he was, no. Trust me. In my hand, my notes, it says, no way will you find me there. Our lives need to be lived out based on our faith and what we believe. In verse 20, it says, and we teaching them, right, to obey everything that I have commanded you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Right? Jesus concludes the Great Commission with this amazing promise. Jesus makes us an amazing promise to be with us to the end of the age. That's the fourth fill in the blank. Makes an amazing promise to be with us at the very end, to the very end of the age. You know, when I see that, I'm encouraged because Jesus is with me. He's for me. He's not against me. You have some friends in your life that, you know, you probably have gone around and we have a cousin that's like this. My brother knows what I'm talking about. Whenever my brother was around and his brother were around, he would run off his mouth. It's another cousin. This is my cousin. Another cousin. But he would always run his mouth. And we're like, dude, come on. Like, just be quiet. When you're around the big guys, you want to be talking a big game. But he knows what I'm saying. Okay. That's a different kind of thing. Don't be doing that. All we're saying is that, yeah, it's kind of cool to be around your guys or your friends or whatever. But Jesus is saying, I'm with you till the end of the age. More than your friends or your family or whatever, your backup. No, I'm with you to the end of the age. And that means that, you know what? Man, what can we be afraid of? You know? What do we have to be afraid of? That somebody says no? Jesus himself says, I've said it earlier. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting him. We just have to do the invitation. The Bible was filled with over 2,000 promises to believers. Yeah, we might have doubts, but we have to trust that his word is true. And we can take comfort, right? That he never leaves us or forsake us. Now, the application for today, right? There was so much to put in here that I just gave you guys the 4 points at the bottom. The application is that we have to be intentional, right? You have to do this practically. How are you going to live out the Great Commission in your daily life? We have to be intentional, right? We have to look for opportunities to build relationships. You got to serve in communities. You got to participate locally, right? Sometimes when you think about missions, it's like, oh, I'm going to go to like India or whatever. You know what? That's, some people are called to do that. But God is saying, you're all called to share the good news of who He is. You're all called to the Great Commission. How about you just cross the street? How about you just cross to the office next door at work? Can we start there? Because some people will say, well, I'm called to do missions. No, we're all called to the Great Commission. Number two, we need to pray about it. Prayer is a heartbeat of effective ministry, right? We need to pray for God to open doors, be receptive, and to look for opportunities to share the person of Jesus Christ. That's simple. There's not power, I think, there's no power in our words, guys. There's power in the scripture. There's power in our testimony and what He's done, but we need to be praying. It's funny, when you pray, things happen in your life, yeah? When you don't pray, they don't happen. It's as simple as that. There was a little girl who was praying for a cat. Did I tell you guys this story already? She was praying for a long time. And the same neighborhood, the pastor lived. There was a pastor of a congregation. He lived in the neighborhood. And his cat ran up the tree. So the pastor couldn't get it down. He didn't have a ladder. So what he decided to do is get a piece of rope, lasso it, and tie it to his truck. Tied it up, put it in drive. And the tree starts bending, and it starts bending, and it starts bending. And they were right as they were about to get the cat, the knot slips off, and it goes, pew! And the cat goes flying. And they didn't see the cat ever again. 2 weeks later, he's walking the neighborhood and he sees the cat with the little girl. And he's like, "Where'd you get that cat?" He says, "You know what? My daughter, she'd been asking for a cat for 2 months. And I told her, if you pray about it, maybe Jesus will send you one." You're not going to believe this, Pastor. 2 weeks ago, a cat came flying in from the sky. So prayer works. I know, it's a funny story. But when we pray, God listens and things happen. And when we don't pray, they don't. God is good. So if your kids want a cat or a dog, tell them to pray about it. It might happen. Discipleship, right? We're not called just to make converts, not to convert people. We need to disciple them. It doesn't say there in the scripture, go therefore and just convert people. No, it says bring them along, make disciples. That takes discipline, that takes hard work, that takes your time. Guess what? It's going to take your time. You're all busy. You're going to have to make time to disciple somebody. But there is nothing greater in terms of what you can do for the kingdom than to disciple somebody. None of the stuff that we kingdom build here, our jobs, accolades, vacations that we work so hard for, none of those things have eternal value. Only souls do. And the fact that Jesus invites us to that task, we should be all in, guys. It's going to take your time. But here's the big picture. Every one of us in here, unless Jesus comes today or before we die, and if He comes, I would say, let Him come on a Sunday or let Him come on when we're meeting, we're in Bible study, and we're praying. But if He doesn't come, if the Lord tarries because He wants people to hear the good news and give every opportunity to repent, we're all going to meet Him one day. Yeah. We're all going to have to give an accord and account for what we did and we didn't do. That's not a guilt. At the same time, we're told that when we pass away, our souls also pass on, right? And we get to worship and be with Him. And always a question mark is to say, who did we not share the good news? And not because, I would say, what an opportunity and a blessing would it be, right? To see the people that you've invited, to see the people that you discipled, and then generations behind them, be able to worship the living, the living God to you because we were obedient to the task that Jesus gave us. I think it's important. It's not just our job to do it. I'm not talking about just our leaders. Every one of us in here is called to make disciples for Jesus Christ, for his glory. He invites us to be a part of his plan for salvation. I don't know what else there is, I'll be honest with you. I think to me it's the greatest invitation to be a part of the winning team and to say, man, God, you gave me the opportunity to be a part of that, to build your kingdom. And then maybe somebody that otherwise was heading to another place, you invited me to introduce them to you, and now you're here. That's awesome. We have to take it serious. The church is not for church people. You guys know what that means? The church is not for church people. This church is not for church people. You're like, what does that mean? The church is for the lost. The church is for sinners. All of us were flawed. We need to share the good news of who Jesus Christ is. We need to keep, it's not about us. You heard me say it before. We're not trying to fill seats because it's like, oh, I want to feel puffed up or whatever. None of that. We just want to save people for Jesus Christ. That's it. Our vision is very simple, right? To know Jesus and to make him known. And here's what I'm saying is that like we have to continue to share and just invite. Whether it's somebody to your small group, to Sunday service, to C3 Next Gen that's starting at the end of the month, which is our youth ministry that we're excited about. As the church needs are developing and growing, we're going to continue to add and multiply and add ministries that are needed. And that's a great opportunity to share the good news of who he is. Yeah, we're not all called to be missionaries and go to other countries and do all this other stuff, but we are called to, our mission field is here, work, at home. And God is calling us to that. Because we're never going to know really at the end of the day what God might do through a simple invitation, right? We don't save anybody. It's just do the invitation, plant the seed. Like Paul says, somebody planted it, somebody watered it, but you don't know. We just have the invitation. You got to trust that God is going to do something with it. Be faithful. We might be nervous. We might have reservations. But do we have 51% faith? Do we have 51% faith in Jesus Christ? Can we have more faith than that? I think we could. But maybe at least 51% to do the invitation. And the 49% just to say, shh. I'm going to be obedient to what my Lord and Savior has called me to do. I'm just going to do the invitation and see what he'll do with it. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, that you've called us to this task, Lord God. Thank you that you've given us the Great Commission, that it's not a burden, but it's a privilege to be a part of the divine work that you have for us to do. Help us, Lord God, to just be filled and be reminded. And Holy Spirit, if you need to bring conviction, if that's what we received today, then that's fine too. Help us just to be obedient to what you want us to do. Help us to just remember that to fulfill the Great Commission is not to have to leave and go to another halfway around the world and preach the good news and the gospel. Sure, some folks are called to do that, but you're calling us even locally every single day to go and share the good news, to invite. You called us to make disciples and baptize everybody in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to be obedient to your word. And thank you for the promise that we have and the great reminder that you tell us that you're with us and you empower us and you give us authority to do that in your name, not in ours. We don't want a kingdom build, Lord God. We want to make your kingdom come. We want to build up your kingdom. We want to make disciples. We want to build up a church in that way. So, Lord God, thank you again for who you are. Thank you for your goodness and for your instruction in our life. You are so awesome. Help us, Lord God, right now, if we have reservations or doubts, just to silence those and just to say, enough excuses, enough is enough. Let me just invite. Let me just share the good news. Let me pray. Let me be intentional. Let me look for opportunities to witness. The alternative is, honestly, it's hell. So why wouldn't we want to be encouraged to be bold for you when you've already called us to this task to share the good news and to go out and achieve the Great Commission in our life. You are an awesome God. And Lord God, I just pray right now that you create those opportunities. I pray that you silence that anxiety and that fear that keeps us from sharing our faith. I pray that we just hold fast, that we can have more than 51%. That we can go and achieve what you've asked us to do. And there's no greater task, there's no greater calling that we can fulfill than to exercise the purpose that you have for our life. You don't have a plan B for salvation. You're it. And you invite us to be a part of it. Invite the church to be a part of it. And so, Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that you prepare hearts. Holy Spirit, I pray that you prepare hearts, that as our church family goes and starts to make these invitations, that people are ready, that hearts are receptive for the invitation, receptive to know you. The world is dark and lonely and hurting, full of depression and anxiety, and you're the one that came to bring hope. So help us to do that, Lord God. Help us to be effective for you, Lord Jesus. Lord, each one of us, as we're here, I know we have different needs, Lord. Some of us, we came here with a need. We might be hurting. We might be upset, angry. But Lord, we never leave without having an opportunity to invite you to be Lord and Savior. If you've been hearing this message this morning and you've had the power of the Holy Spirit filling you and inviting you, prompting you, maybe you don't know who Jesus is. This is an opportunity today. You don't have to wait. This morning, if that's you, if you've been hearing the prompting or you've been hearing God call you this morning, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you want to be introduced to Jesus Christ, you haven't surrendered your life to him today, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand where you are. Every opportunity that we have is an opportunity to get right and to get just recommit if we have to. And so right now, if that was you, I just ask you to follow along in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you. You are so good. Lord Jesus, I repent for my sin. Lord Jesus, I want to continue to live a life after you. I want to recommit my life to you this morning. I'm tired and whatever's going on, Lord Jesus, meet me where I am. Equip me with the people around me to live for you from this day forward. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, and that you resurrected 3 days later. And from this day forward, help me to live for you. Help me to represent you to the fullest. And Lord, for this church body, I just pray that we just continue to share the good news of who you are. Continue to just surround our brothers and sisters in their own walk. It is truly a privilege to do that. And help us again. I know, like I said, that we all have different burdens or needs, but there's no more pressing need than to show the news of who you are, Lord Jesus. So burn in us a deep conviction of obedience to the Great Commission this morning. Help us not to sleep. Help us not to take it lightly or just ignore the message and say, what are we going to watch? Who's going to win the game? At the end of the day, none of that matters if we aren't doing what you've called us to do, which is to make disciples and baptize them in your name. Lord God, I just thank you again for the opportunity that you've given us to serve you. I thank you for the opportunity that you continue to allow us just to be a part of your church, to be your hands and your feet, to share the good news, Lord. And again, I just say it. Prepare heart, Lord God, and help us to continue to equip the saints to do the work that you've called every one of them to do, that every person in here is filled with spiritual gifts and abilities for your purpose and for your glory only. Lord, you are so good, Lord.